The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Feels like I haven't spoken to you for absolute ages and ages, Rolien.
It has been ages, and now we're in for another long-haul flight here this week. What's going on?
No, we just kind of popped in to say hello, touch base with you, is everything all right, and then we'll pop out again. But
are we socially distancing our broadcast?
Yeah, it seems like it, doesn't it? Yeah, I was thinking about that. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, it seems like there's talk of easing of certain restrictions that you're facing in Israel.
Yes, so this has been spoken about over the last week or so. In fact, last week in his address to the nation just before Pesach, when he spoke about the intense lockdown that would take place over the start of Pesach, Prime Minister Netanyahu alluded to the fact that we're going to start relaxing restrictions. And speaking to quite a few people, I know that they have already said they will be reporting into work on Sunday morning. So basically, how it's looking at the moment, and we have had our deadliest day, or one of our deadliest days since the start of the COVID-19 crisis, but we'll take a look at those stats in a few, is that areas where there is high intensity of infections, like B'nai Brak, parts of Jerusalem that have high infection rates, and these are largely areas with the big Haredi or ultra-Orthodox populations, they have been put into full lockdown. And there was a very interesting story earlier today from the general in the Home Front Command. That's the command, or the part of the army that looks after the, you know, the civilians internally. And he was saying that it's taken a while, but there's a lot of cooperation. They're now a lot less distrustful of the army and how they're trying to cope. We've got battalions in these areas assisting people, understanding the threat posed by corona, understanding what's important to maintain social distancing, to wear masks, which is now mandatory, why to, you know, keep washing the hands. Those that we've had to remove were very upset. They were very uncertain that they wouldn't be getting food that's to their level of kashrut or kosher, but they have been reassured that everything as to the level of what you would have in your own home, this is to protect your lives. So this is what we have, with stats reporting that at least one in every 100 citizen in B'nai Brak is infected, and Jerusalem being the area with the highest infection rate. So I'll just give you an update on Israel's stats today. We have 11,235 cases. That does include cases that have had a resolution, whether they be a full recovery, and that's at 1,627. We have about 133 people on ventilators and about 157 in serious condition, but we have had 113 fatalities. And the health ministry has been very careful to notify people that these are people who've had like comorbidities or have had underlying conditions that have contributed to a lot of concern, that 12 of the fatalities come from the same assisted living facility in Be'er Sheva. Wow. And there will be an investigation into that. But, and we, right now we're in the position where we're about to find out if we're going into the same full lockdown as last week, from just before Chag tomorrow night to 6:30 on Thursday morning. There's a high likelihood that that will be happening, and that's to prevent people from going from their homes to other people's homes. And last week it was profoundly, profoundly moving when we all came out onto our mepesot, our balconies, to sing Manish Tana. I did record, but I was caught singing, and therefore I was not broadcasting to anybody at any time, because my neighbor was
fair. Okay, but I mean, I did see a couple of posts, albeit not yours, and it was truly beautiful in the extreme. It was so unbelievably moving. And if anybody wondered, you know, whether Israel, whether it's just so obvious that, yeah, that culturally it just makes so much sense.
It was stunning. I mean, my neighbor, who I got really good footage of, came out with his guitar. He had all his children sitting around his feet, and he played Manish Tanna, the neighbor's kids across the way from me, shouting Manish Tanna on the top of their head, not drowning out my lousy singing. Me being the youngest in my home, between my husband and I sang Manish Tanna. But it was beautiful because it just reverberated throughout the whole of the suburb and, of course, across the whole of the country. But we were in lockdown, and that's been successful so far. So the plan is to slowly start waking up the economy from Sunday.
When is Mimuna?
Mimuna would be on Wednesday night, and there will be no Mimuna this year. So those of us of Moroccan ascendant, we're going to have to do it up a big time next year. I'm not going to make any Moroccan noises, but yes, I do have my roots that are Moroccan. Anywho, let's go back to the lifting of the restrictions. So the plan is for schools, these are special needs schools and possibly kindergartens, to start opening. How they're going to do this still being discussed. They have classes in rotation, in groups. You know, obviously the concern with any going to work right now is who's going to look after children at home. I've spoken to some people who are special needs teachers that are going back to work to look after their students on Sunday. Then the following industries, high tech, financial, legal, parts of transport and the exporting industry, as well as accountants, will start slowly going back to their offices. You know, the amount of people will, of course, be restricted, and you have to maintain, you know, social distancing norms at the moment. Right now, it's also mandatory for anybody over the age of 6, that's me, to leave the house wearing a mask. You know, the police have said they're not going to fine anybody, but they are going to warn if you haven't got your mask on. So it's, I never thought I'd shop looking like a surgeon, but that's what it looks like right now. And, you know, supermarkets, if you want to go into the supermarket, and it's just supermarkets and pharmacies that are open, to queue, you have to maintain social distancing. You do have your temperature checked. They are restricting the amount of people inside the store, and you have to, like, fully gear up as if you're about to perform elective surgery. It's also debated now whether or not stores, small businesses, small stores that are street-facing can open up, but that hasn't been confirmed. The next level will probably be slowly opening the malls, opening clothing stores, getting more of the workforce back. And they're hoping that by the 30th of May, the majority of Israel's workforce will be back at work. But, you know, talking to people, a lot of people are very concerned psychologically. They don't feel safe entirely to go back to an office situation, which we can all understand, because I think we're all very concerned, you know, who we could possibly catch anything from. The reason that Israel's numbers are so high is because we've really, really increased the amount of testing that we're rolling out. And I think that there's they want to increase it to about 30,000 tests a day. I think they want as many of Israel's citizens tested so that we can isolate these clusters. We can look for the herd immunity. We can get people who are well and, you know, not showing any symptoms or healthy back to work. But I think here in Israel, and I think everywhere around the world, the psychological impact is another big issue that we're going to have to deal with.
You haven't even quantified it.
So that's where we are at the moment. And we're waiting for confirmation whether or not this will be going ahead, but it is being spoken about by various ministries. And I know in other countries as well, I even saw in the UK that they're starting to talk, Germany, they're starting to talk about waking up the economy. Even Spain and Italy, with very, very high numbers of infections and fatalities, have started to allow non-essential workers to go back to work.
Rolene, we don't have sport today, so you're going to remain with us. Can we come back to you? Can we get news headlines, play a song, and come back to you? Because we haven't even got to the political part yet. Clive weighing in, saying, new fourth election, ? There's lots to talk about. Will you hang about, Rolene?
As long as you don't expect me to do a sports report, I'm very happy.
No, we're very happy. You won't. I'm just going to leave you with this thought when we, just before we go to news, because Austin weighing in saying, Rolene can always wear her Purim mask. I presume he's referring to that femme fatale one that we may or may not have seen on social media. We are, I'm very pleased to tell you, talking to Rolene Marks, who's agreed to talk to us for another 5 minutes this afternoon. She's not doing sports. She is doing the Israel report. Ro, are you still with us?
I'm still with you, but you know, I might as well just turn this into musical chairs or some kind of sports thing if we're going to talk about the unity government, because it is getting to be ridiculous. Now, a lot of us are of the opinion that Netanyahu and the Likud have stalled so that the time that Gantz has been allocated or charged with to form a government comes to an end. He's very crafty, that Netanyahu. We have spoken about it before, that if you're going to strategize, you better come with plans B, C, D, and Z. And while there have been meetings today and there has been a moratorium on the press, full press blackout, we've just been notified that Benny Gantz will deliver some kind of speech later tonight, probably at about 8:30. And some are saying that maybe this is a sign that unity talks have ended. And even Rivlin today threatened both of them and said, you know, we're going to go to a fourth election. And I'm telling you that if there's a fourth election, the Israeli electorate, I think, will rebel quite harshly. This is the last thing that we want or need right now. But if they cannot get past the deadlock, if they cannot form a government,
what will that look like, Rolene? That rebellion, what will it look like? Will they just not go to the polls?
People will not vote. People will protest en masse, you know, maintaining social distancing and, you know, no more than groups of 10.
Sure.
People will not go to the polls. The party loyalists will walk away. This is absolutely untenable. I mean, what's led up to this is Benny Gantz asked President Rivlin for an extension on the time to form a government, and President Rivlin said no. This prompted the Likudniks to try to get members of the Labour Party to try and form their coalition. There's only two of them at the moment that are MKs, and to try and get their backing to endorse Prime Minister Netanyahu as Prime Minister and to form a government. The minute that this was announced, the opposition, and there's a whole group of Chavei Knesset, went to the Israeli Supreme Court and filed or put a filing in saying that they protest or they will not allow Prime Minister Netanyahu to form a government because he is about to face indictment charges. Now, the big holdup, because we haven't been told too many details about the talks, the big holdup is the annexation, which Gantz gave a little bit towards, and the issue of judges. And also another big issue creeping in is the issue of the health minister. The majority of Israelis are wanting Litzman out as health minister, and he's not budging. So it's, you know, it's all these coalition and block panderings, which is very, very unpopular. But I tell you, it absolutely is exhausting.
And something else I wanted to raise with you, Rolene, because I've been reading the Israeli press over the weekend, and Ruby Rivlin, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Avigdor Lieberman all broke quarantine rules and had members of families with them. at Pesach Seder. Why? What are they thinking that they think they can get away with this? What makes them any more special than any other Israeli who's lived with the exact same regime? Why do they think they can do this?
Well, exactly. And the only one who's actually apologized and acknowledged his mistake is President Rivlin. Now, some of President Rivlin's staff and former staff have said, you know, the president is surrounded by young people all the time. He hasn't really essentially broken it. The daughter that he did have is the daughter that since his wife has died is the one who steps in with him and works with him and takes care of him, et cetera, et cetera. It still doesn't make it any more palatable.
No, it doesn't.
We are still waiting to hear from the Prime Minister and from Avigdor Lieberman why they did it, or just acknowledge us. At least the President has apologized, and, you know, we will forgive him almost anything.
Yeah, but, no, I hate being angry with him, but he was wrong. He was definitely wrong.
At least he admitted it. That's the difference that we're speaking about. At least he admitted it. Whereas the other two, you know, Beulah.
Have we lost you, Rolene?
You have not lost me.
I heard Beulah try. Listen, I can't believe it. It's an extended broadcast and we're going to run out of time. I do want you to very quickly address this final story about the Amnesty International employee who apparently got a peace activist jailed. I mean, that's an obscene story.
It is obscene. So this is Hind Kodari. If you've ever watched RT and various other TV channels, she works as a correspondent. She also is an employee of Amnesty International. Now, what is quite interesting is a story broke in the New York Times. Hind notified Hamas that journalist Rami Aman, who's a part of the Gaza Youth Committee, had held a conference with Israelis via Zoom. And like most people around the world, they were talking about the coronavirus and how they're coping. And at a time like this, you would think that this is a time for people to lay down their arms, lay down their differences and talk. And Hind Kodari reported him into Hamas, who promptly arrested him. And he's going to be accused of treason. And that carries with it a death sentence.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm still waiting for the human rights organizations, and I've tweeted a whole lot of them, for their comment. They are eerily silent. I'm talking to you, if not now, and BDS. They haven't said a word, but Amnesty International have disciplined her and criticized her. They've said that it's absolutely unacceptable. They said she should be ashamed of herself, but I want to see her doing something more. And she replied, being ashamed of myself for fighting normalization with Israel. Well, there you go. You don't have it any more clear than that. She is anti-normalization, anti-peace, and quite frankly, if I saw her on my TV, I'd switch it off.
Yeah, no, I must say I agree with every word you've said. Rolene Marks, we've run over time, but as always, scintillating and fascinating. Chat to you Monday, Rolene.
Well, chat to you on Monday. It seems so far away. Have a good week, everybody. Stay safe and healthy, and Chag Sameach, and for the rest of the Chag.